When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers! We are back, baby. We are back. And we are here a couple days after the Lions' first victory of the season. A preseason victory, nonetheless, but a 24-23 victory over the Chiefs. We're going to be breaking down some of the observations from that game, some of the things from training camp, maybe some roster discussions as well. But before we get into all of that, we had to introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew. They're all here. UJ.
Live long and prosper.
We got Bob.
Hello, everybody.
Or is he has on the screen, Baba O'Reilly. It's a new one, Bob.
Oba.
Yeah, mix it up. A little Who reference.
And then
rock and roll people.
Last but not least, Run Dog.
Yo.
And, of course, a big Z. All right, so the Lions win 24-23. They come back near the end of the game. A game-winning kick for Jake Bates.
Who can,
yeah. Who I think, would you guys agree, has solidified a spot as a starting kicker, or at least to start the season?
Yes. I think so. Well, for one reason, there's nobody else.
That's a good sign.
And,
it's a good reason.
And they're being patient with him now, and they know what a big leg he has, so they're gonna be patient with him and let him develop. And he's developing okay. I missed an extra point, which sucks,
yes,
but
we don't.
He did make the game winner. He did make the game winner. So hey, that's something.
Yeah. Yes,
and
they won.
It's hard to beat.
Yeah, they win by 1 point. I guess is there anybody that really stood out to you in this game? I will start. With somebody though, Sione Vaki really stood out again.
This
is two games in a row where he's really stood out. But I thought he looked even better in this game than he did in the first preseason game. Seems explosive, good hands too on short passes from the quarterback, and just really good vision on the field, good instincts.
It's just because he really likes Sudfeld and wants to help him get stats that look reasonable. So he's just helping, you know, he's just like, give it to me, Sudfeld. I'll take care of you, buddy. Just dump it here and I'll get 30 yards like that.
I'll tell you what,
he looked great.
Z, he looks like he's been playing that position for a while, though. It's hard to believe he's basically new to it.
Kid's got skills.
Yeah, he's definitely getting on that roster, man.
Well, like, and you hear about, like, the stories about how he came and showed up with the preparation he did on his own, like going through all the plays of the offense and stuff. Like it's, I guess it's not too surprising that he's already got a really good sense of the environment in the field. But, like, that wiggle that he does with his burst and everything, he's got some, like, just elite, like, physical traits.
Yeah, Sione Vaki, we think, should be on this roster.
Absolutely.
Because he ended up in this game, pulling up a stat right now, with 6 carries, 22 yards, but also, where is it? Oh, four catches for 60 yards. Really solid stat line, like what we see out of him. But I want to go to the next group. Not somebody who stood out, but just the ongoing battle for this fourth wide receiver. The receiver that stood out most in this preseason is Isaiah Williams,
easily,
who I think the Lions would love to have maybe on the practice squad or something.
And Lassen.
I mean, he plays the slot. The Lions are deep at the slot position on this team right now. It just doesn't seem like, I mean, Campbell's own words, like, it sucks that they probably have no spot for him on this roster, basically, barring an injury.
I mean, I just don't, like, the only thing is that no one in that big body category is standing out. So it's like, it's going to be really hard pill to swallow when you drop the kid who's been showing out all camp. Plus, he shows, like, some really mature, like, I don't know, like, spatial awareness. He's so shaky, like, or shifty. I mean, like, he's so hard to just pin down. I don't know, man. giving him up is going to be a hard one, especially if it's for like DPJ and he's doing jack all in preseason. Like, I hope he can become the guy they think he can, but Peoples-Jones is just not showing up.
Yeah, DPJ is an interesting question mark on this roster right now. I mean, I'm not even sure what the team's thinking about him right now. The way they're using him, the way they're playing him, he hasn't really shined, but I don't know. Has anybody got a feeling about this guy at all?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, UJ, it seems like the Lions, they liked, you know, what they saw in him when they signed him. And they keep waiting for that to show up, and it doesn't seem to be. Like, you know, whatever that it factor is.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like in those press conferences that Campbell's basically begging for one of these guys to step up and take the spot. Like,
right.
We got the competition. Somebody take it. I mean, he hasn't ruled out they're going to sign somebody before the season. So he's hoping to do it in-house, but they're right. Open to bringing someone else in.
I could see him just taking Williams because he just looks like he's ready to just do things in the league. Why is there any rule that you can roll with a bunch of small shifty dudes? Like, I mean,
well, yeah, no? But Red Dog, they're trying to win a Super Bowl this year, so they're not. I mean, you can't take a chance on. I mean, they could.
Well, someone's got to show better though. I feel like you're right though. I get it. Like, they'll settle for like. I just don't know if it's DPJ. I almost feel better with like Fountain at this point. At least he's shown some spirit in camp. Like, I just don't know if DPJ is at all like the guy they want him to be.
Fountain also did a kind of a fade, so
but
that's the kind of thing Campbell is trying to avoid. You know, these guys who look really good, and then you know, he wants these guys that are like, he did it in his press conference. I'm imitating Campbell. Like,
yeah,
you know,
right.
He wants a guy who shows progress like this, slow but steady, up, mm-hmm. Slow.
Yeah.
He wants to see that, not this. Oh, it looks great, and then they got to be able to trust these guys.
Right.
It's all a matter of trust.
Williams is
completely.
It is very likely that the Lions' fourth wide receiver is not on the roster right now.
That's a distinct possibility.
Yeah,
here's some of the top remaining free agents, at least. I'm not speculating on which teams are going to drop who. But Michael Thomas, Hunter Renfro, although Hunter Renfro is a slot guy, Corey Davis, Julio Jones, Randall Cobb, he's more of a slot guy. Juju Smith-Schuster, that could be a potential fit there. Chase Claypool.
God.
I like Claypool if
stay away from Claypool.
No.
Stay away.
He's not at this juncture.
I mean, you're getting super cheap. At least you don't have to give up a second-round pick like the Bears.
Yeah, but it's too late. If like he came in at the beginning of camp, I'd be intrigued, but I don't want to make a move for him now.
No. I think history shows stay away from that guy.
I'm fine with that.
Like, Kenny Galladay, is he still out there?
Yeah.
I think he might be. I think he's.
I think he's working back in the south side of Chicago right now.
He's living a good life, though. I saw him in, like, he was, like, in French Fashion Week or something out there.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
He's a multimillionaire from his Giants.
Yeah, no,
I know. He would get, like, $60 million from them or something for doing absolutely nothing.
I think it was more.
Absolute highway robbery. He deserves to give, like, he should tip Stafford like $1 million for making him $60 million, basically.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, that definitely helped.
He actually, you know, in those couple seasons with the Lions, he actually made some nice plays too. I mean,
right.
Stafford made him, but he also was actually,
I mean, he had that size.
Yeah, he was. He was.
But he had, like, the problem Calvin had. He got the crap kicked out of him because he's too big target.
Anyway.
It's going to be tough to find a fourth wide receiver. It's probably going to be a cut from another team or one of those free agents.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of rolling with Isaiah, but I also feel like Isaiah had, like, camp hero written all over him going in to an extent. Like, he knew he'd show up. Sort of, honestly, like UJ came and was like, can you believe like they didn't give a stock up to Kennedy after that game? And I'm like, no, that sounds about right. I don't think he could have gone and just started streaking off like nines for touchdowns back to back. And he's not making team like Tom Kennedy. There's nothing he can do. They know what he is. They like him as like a deep depth piece that can like maybe be pulled up late season if there's injuries piled up or something. But TK, as much as I love him, ain't making this team. And Isaiah Williams will probably be in a similar boat. I don't know if we can protect him on the practice squad, though. He's looked very good.
Yeah, good point there.
Yeah.
But still, you're going to play your best guys, you know? Like,
right.
So he's not prototypical, you know? So what? I mean, would you play with four Amon-Ra St. Browns out there at one time? I don't know. That would be intriguing, wouldn't it?
Sounds really
boring. What? He's another slot guy. I mean, but he can still run fast and he can run patterns. I mean, right.
Amon-Ra's transcending slot anyway. He's just an elite receiver. Like, you see what that dude does no matter where he is on the field. He dominates.
Absolutely. My point is we don't have to have the 6'2", you know, prototypical guy.
No.
Let's just take the best guy we have, you know, and play our best guys.
I'm with you, Jay. Though that's why I could see it being like a cut down to like he's the last receiver standing after cuts, but then like some tall dude, you know. It's like, what's that stupid meme song, 6'5", finance? Like, girls want the tall guys. You know, our coaches, I guess, are kind of the same way. They want that tall guy who can go and run around the perimeter and catch the balls up high that, you know, take advantage. I get it. I get the prototype, but it sucks when you don't have that guy stepping up on your roster as it is now.
Yeah. And knew you had the list of people, but I'm sure Holmes is scouting these rosters. There's probably some guys that aren't even on our radar. You know, some guy who's probably a receiver battle on some other team, and they have to let one go, and they don't want to.
Right.
And we might benefit from that.
Yeah, I saw the name Ronnie Bell floated out there as a possible cut from the 49ers, wide receiver out of Purdue. That could possibly be a fit on the outside.
They call that chapter of the offseason one man's trash. That's the short version of it. But I mean, I think you're right. We're going to be dumped.
You mean one man trash is another man's treasure?
Yeah.
That's the full quote.
Ronnie Bell's another Michigan guy. So you could, if we get rid of Peoples Jones, we can bring him in to swap Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Speaking of Michigan guys with that kicker battle, just going back for a second, I always thought like, oh, well, maybe the Packers will cut James Turner and we'll get him back in camp. Well, they did cut him, but nobody signed him, so he must not be doing well.
Yeah.
Did anybody ever sign the big kicker from Missouri?
Mavis?
No, last I saw, he was still free agent. Mm. So.
Yeah.
It's too bad, the thicker kicker.
UJ just totally whiffed on that one.
Oh, yeah.
How could you?
Another group that stepped up in this game was the secondary. They had a very good game. Brandon Joseph, Kendall Vildor.
Yeah.
Who is the other name I had? Khalil Dorsey. Khalil Dorsey. But it seems like Vildor is trending up the cut week within a week here, which is interesting. Maybe he'll have a redemption in the NFC Championship.
He has big game experience, you know.
Yeah. He does.
Let's be honest. Like, who wouldn't love a comeback story where, like, next time he gets the pick? Right? Oh. Like,
can you imagine that? That would be amazing.
That would be pretty wild.
Honestly, though, he's looked really good. Like, I think he's got a nice build. He's not a small corner. Like, he's got good size to him, and he looks just consistent. Like, maybe he's not a shutdown, but honestly, he looks better than most of the cornerback play we've seen last year. And on a competent secondary, he can play his role well. I like him as like a cornerback 5 or 6 or whatever he's going to be. I think he makes this team. And Dorsey. Dorsey looks ready to just ball out. That dude, I liked him last year, but like he looks like he's even better this year.
Yeah. And Rakestraw looks, he is talented, but raw, you know. I guess Amon-Ra like just off the line just made him look foolish the other day with the quick separation off the line and beat him. But he's a guy who's learning.
That's the battles that will shape him right there.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
God, I love that. Like, but like, think about it this way: like this coaching staff in like one preseason game knew, like, despite all these little bang up injuries, they weren't going to bother be worried one bit about letting Ennis or Tarion or any of those guys sit for a little bit and get healthy because they know what they have there. This young cornerback core, like, and then you get into like Dorsey, who's like that more blue collar type player. I think I like him on the back end to round out our cornerback room. I think he's just so damn feisty. Like, I don't know if you guys remember last year as a rookie, he was causing fumbles and getting interceptions in the preseason. The dude's been around the ball since day one.
Yeah.
He just needs to refine his game, at least on a special teams team, and he makes his team.
Yeah, I think Vildor and Dorsey are likely to both make this roster, along with Davis, obviously, Carlton Davis, Tyrion.
So Gilmore nice. Out would be the big one?
Yep, that'd be Stephen Gilmore would be out in that group. And then at safety, it's Kirby Joseph, Iffy, Brian Branch, and Brandon Joseph, who's looked pretty good in the preseason. Is definitely as a rotational safety. CJ Moore, maybe a little more on the bubble, but I could see them sticking with him. He's a pretty good special teamer, especially now with the kickoff. We're 2 weeks into the kickoff rule. 2 weeks. Another battle going on is long snapper. It seems like the Lions might be switching up the long snapper.
Yeah, it does seem that way.
Baby.
Illinois product Scott Daly getting swapped out for Hogan Haddon. Possibly.
Better name.
It is a better long snapper name. Hogan Haddon. Hogie or something.
Dan Campbell is like, it's becoming a minimum standard on this team. Our long snappers will have interesting names, damn it.
Well, the main thing is the ball's been getting to the where it's got to go. It's getting to the holder. It's been getting to wherever hats used.
He appears to have more athleticism on punt coverage.
Haddon was getting down the field on coverage a lot better than Daly was.
Well, the main thing we need him to do is just snap the ball accurately 100% of the time. Thing.
Yes. 100% of the time works every time.
Absolutely.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
So what else, Z? What else did you notice in this game here?
Well, I noticed that Giovanni Manu has a long way to go.
Did you miss where he's 100% time will still tell though, in pass blocking?
Say that again?
He didn't give up a single pressure. In like 20 pass rushes.
I guess it's positive, but I mean it's against third stringers on a roster. I don't know. I just I think he has a really
he
long
definitely
way
has
to go.
A way to go.
And I don't love that we have to spend a roster spot on him necessarily, like especially if injuries get really bad and you have to put him in a game. That kind of scares me.
Yeah.
Time will tell if it was right to trade up for him. I did not love the trade. I don't mind the player. I didn't love the value to grab him is more the issue I had.
I'm glad Brad Holmes is our GM.
Hey, I've liked a lot of other things he's done. That was not one. This is not like a rave review.
Well, you're right now. As far as fitting for this year in a Super Bowl run, possibly.
Yeah.
We are wasting a roster spot on a guy who's really a developmental.
It's not
player.
Wasting. It's the Broderick Martin spot. He's going to have the developmental spot.
I don't know about that. It's wasting. I think they look at this year, plus they look at a year or two down the road with some of these signings.
Yeah. Right. Was Broderick Martin a waste last year if he's a solid rotational guy this year? Like, was his developmental spot on the roster a waste? Like, Broderick Martin, if he comes out this year and is a solid, like, at least rotational guy, was that a waste to hold him on the roster and not really play him last year? To protect him for his development?
Obviously, no.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. So that's the idea with Manu. Obviously, there's a little bit of time will tell, but like he's showing signs of improvement, like not giving a pressure up this week. So I mean,
so those trade ups, like they traded up for Manu and Vaikai, right? And
I
think the Vaikai one's going to pay off quickly, I think. I mean,
immediately.
Yeah, Vaikai, whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to pay off right away.
We'll see. I mean, time will tell. I hope I'm wrong, obviously. I hope I'm wrong.
There's one other guy I liked in this game, if we can talk about it.
Talk about it.
Talk Hendon about
Hooker.
It.
Hendon Hooker, baby.
Hooker.
And I'll tell you right now, game one, regular season, if something, God forbid, would happen to Jared Goff, I would want to put Hendon Hooker in there over Nate Sudfeld.
You're damn right.
Not even close.
Did you see Campbell's remarks about that? He said that Sudfeld has the upper hand.
Yeah.
I know he said that, yeah.
And he said that Hooker's still pretty raw because he's young and he doesn't have any experience.
Yeah, so. He's young and he's raw.
Didn't you guys
read
the
exciting.
The ladies.
I agree with you. I'm excited about Hooker, but I'm just saying, for as far as this team, I think it could be Sudfeld as a second string, and they're going to carry three quarterbacks.
I think it's going to be that way, Bob, right up until the season's about to start, and then they're going to go, Hendon Hooker won the job, because Hendon Hooker is obviously the more upside to his play. When he's on the field, it looks like something good might actually happen, as opposed to when Sudfeld's on the field against any competent defense, he looks like he's going to get destroyed. I'm just saying, I think the script was all along set from the beginning of this preseason. Hooker's going to have to take the job from Sudfeld, but he's expected to take the job from Sudfeld. And so far, I think he's lived up to that expectation to pretty much every outside look. I don't know. Sudfeld is uninspiring to me.
When you look at comments during the game, like on Facebook or whatever, like on Twitter, that everyone's like, oh, Sudfeld's done, you know, he's finished. And then Campbell's like, oh, yeah, he's our number two guy, you know.
I
think Sudfeld is going to fall to third by the time season. But, you know, hey, Hooker's still got to do it.
I don't think it matters so much as third.
No, it shouldn't. Hopefully it doesn't matter at all. But just saying that Hooker did show vast improvement in this game. And even during the course of the game, he showed improvement and his accuracy started showing up. And then he ran, he slid, he's learning, he has a brain. So, and then that touchdown run, I mean, Sudfeld will never do that. That'll never happen. Of course, Goff won't either. But
He did it last year.
That's the element that he adds that.
Yes.
And, yeah.
I think it's a no-brainer to me.
I agree with you. I'm saying I think he'll might be number three going into the season, but I'm excited about his future much more than Sudfeld. I think Sudfeld's, he might not even be with the team next year. But
like you, Bob, like game one, do you put Sudfeld in if Goff goes down, or like if it's you making the call right now based on what you've seen, Sudfeld or Hooker? If you feel
based
like you want to win
a
the
fan,
game,
I'd want to see Hooker in there, but I'm guessing that.
Based on what you think looks like it'd be more likely to give you the chance to win based on what you've seen this preseason.
Well, I guess I'd go with Hooker, but what do I know? So
I mean fair enough. That's the qualifier on all of us, but like that's
well,
the point.
I would, but
it's tough. If Goff goes down though, I'm very concerned.
I just think Dan Campbell's playing the proper...
I think
proper,
I said that the last two podcasts.
It's the proper thing. You gotta... Hooker has to win it. That's the script that has to play out here, but he's expected to.
Not necessarily. He could be the number two. He could be doing all the clipboard stuff all season, Sudfeld, and then Campbell might get a hunch, if Goff was out, nope, I'm gonna end up going with Hooker, even though he's our number two. I just got a feeling about this, and bam. I could see that happening too.
Starting Hooker over Goff, is that what you said?
No, if Goff goes down, obviously Goff's playing every game unless there's an injury. You think this is a three-way competition?
No, hell no.
Well, what are you talking about?
I don't know. I misheard something you said, I think.
But he did have the game-winning Hooker, that is, had a game-winning drive in this one. So that was good to see, good experience. That's kind of what the preseason's all about. And he responded. Only three incompletions. Not too bad. Sudfeld, 14 of 27. A little rougher out there.
Yeah.
He should not be taking any regular season snaps for us, no matter what happens to anybody else. I really don't think Sudfeld should ever be our backup going
into
the
regular
season.
It's not helping the fourth wide receiver battle.
That's just the thing. Like, I just think Sudfeld is not. That's what I'm saying. Like, how could any of those guys do anything with him trying to get them the ball? All he hits is crossing routes or dump offs. It's brutal. Like, what is a sideline receiver supposed to do with that? Like, that's just no. Sudfeld should not be. He's the guy that your actual backup beats up to earn the spot. That's what he is, and that's what Hooker's doing. And I trust he will, based on what I've seen, barring injury or whatever else. Hooker's clearly on the trajectory to take that spot.
Definitely. In this game as well, did you guys like the behind-the-back pass that Patrick Mahomes threw?
Oh, yeah. I like
so
that.
Ridiculous, yeah. Man. The dude just got that. My gosh.
It wasn't the prettiest thing, but man, it was cool though.
It was ridiculous.
Cool. Yeah, I admit it.
The preseason's the time to try out that play, I imagine.
Yep.
If they did it in the regular season, that'd be pretty dope.
I almost wonder why they didn't do it sooner. Yeah.
I've heard that they were practicing it like last year in practice. So there were reports about them throwing backwards passes. I didn't know what they meant, but I guess maybe that.
I heard that too. It makes sense. It actually it should work relatively smoothly, like rolling to the right. It's not that hard of a pass, really.
No, especially if you're have repetition with it.
Yeah, and especially if you're Patrick Mahomes.
So ridiculous.
Right.
So
he's fun to watch. He's fun to watch.
That's like that is like the point on which they've like the fulcrum is turned for that team is that connection right there. They're like freaking. I hate how magical they are together. It's like that's just,
Mahomes and Kelsey.
Yeah, like they just did that casually. Like, and Mahomes was upset with him, like a boyfriend and a girlfriend in a relationship. Oh, why'd you go that way? Fine, and just like flicks it and like, oh, magic. Like,
that's all part of the show.
But that's what they do in the Super Bowl and stuff. That's why, like, every year people are like, oh, their defense isn't that good or whatever, blah blah blah. And then in the Super Bowl, it's like, we got them. Then it's Kelsey for 30 yards down the middle. They just find a way.
Their defense is really good now, too.
So. Yeah, no, that's exactly. But that's why we're going to come for him this year.
I know. I wish we could start the season in Kansas City again this year.
That would be kind of cool.
If only they put us there 2 years in a row.
But. So how are you guys feeling going into the season right now?
I mean, good.
We have not seen a starter on a field yet.
It's great.
Nope.
So,
totally fine with that.
You know, and in the tradition of preseason, you know, they'll usually play the starters a bit, a quarter here and a quarter there, or whatever.
Like
maybe in the last game
played
you play
Mahomes, though, first quarter.
Yeah, maybe in the last game, traditionally, you'd play your starters maybe a half of the game or something like that. So,
at least a series.
In the game coming up, what do you think? Now, that's out the window these days.
Yeah, Campbell
hasn't done it since he's been here.
I think that's why he's even said something along these lines. He likes the joint practices for that reason better because you can get deeper reps in controlled situations where you don't have to risk your quarterback and stuff. So, like,
right.
I think he prefers to do that than put, like, why risk it in preseason? I don't know. Like,
exactly. Yeah, it's absolutely for nothing. So,
and UJ, the people who are banged up now, too, are scheduled to be unbanged up by the time the season starts.
Yes,
so.
They are. Yeah. They're going to unbang them.
Jahmyr Gibbs being a big one, that was a big question mark, but it looks like he will be set to go week one, most likely. Barring any unforeseen.
And just a short answer to what you're saying, UJ, am I excited? Hell yeah. I'm so excited. I've never been more pumped for a Lions season, and I am always pumped for a Lions season, big time. So this is like ridiculously next level. So I'm so excited right now just thinking about it. Even watching those stupid I watched that first episode of Receiver, and they were showing like Lions clips from last year. I'm like, feeling it again. Like, damn.
Oh, man.
You
know? Oh, man.
I get so excited watching this team.
You could spend – just go watch, like, if you really got an itch to scratch, just go watch, like, the Jahmyr Gibbs, the Amon-Ra St. Brown, the Goff, the, like, all their highlights are, like, 20 minutes long, and it's just pure ecstasy of just outstanding performance by these super studs we have nowadays. Like and Gibbs' highlights, I'm telling you, watch Gibbs and you're gonna be like, I don't see how he doesn't just have his way with the league this year. Like, he by the end of last season, he was like, just space was expanding around him and he was just finding ways to do whatever he want. I think he's gonna be off the chain this year.
I still think it's underrated how big of a year J-Mo I think is gonna have. I think he looks incredible in preseason. There was another video come out today. He ran this like end zone route. It was like a fake corner route from the 10-yard line, and then Goff threw it to him over like into the back center of the end zone. I forgot what that route is called. Apologies, but either way, I mean, just absolutely the Lions quarterback in the 7-on-7 drill just had no chance. It was. And how do you guard that? Like, this guy's supreme speed. You gotta at least respect him going to that corner. Or you're just gonna bite on. I mean, he just has elite speed. I think he finally has a good feel for the routes and the play calling in this offense.
Yeah.
This is really his year to explode. And I think he's an underrated fantasy guy, too, for all the fantasy players.
Oh, yeah. It's more than just speed, Z. He's got that, like, short area burst. Like, he can get so quick. Like, I'll never forget that one last year where he caught the ball along the sideline and the cornerback was right in front of him with like a foot and a half between them and the sideline. He did like such a tight juke and shot right by him with no gap. Like that kind of short area quickness, like how I don't see why he can't be like a CD Lamb, like a Justin Jefferson, like any of these dudes who just like we're putting up like 300 yards down the stretch against our secondary, you know, those guys. He's got all the skills to just go off as an elite, high end, all around, top end receiver. This is the year he's going to put it together.
He's definitely taken all the coaching, and which is nice, you know, because he was obviously talented coming out of college, but he was more like, raw power and just like speed. And but now he's disciplined. You know, he got the playbook down. He can do all the route tree, you know, the whole thing. So I'm excited.
Full off season, no suspension.
Him and Goff syncing up.
I think the maturity level, too, you can't underestimate what he, you know, he came in very immature on this team. I think everyone will admit that. But I think over the last couple of years, he's really just he's made a huge effort to mature, So,
and it's physical. They're saying he all
incredible
looks,
talent.
He looks buffer and like stronger.
And I just love
thicker.
Oh, yeah. And I just love that we get to play the Rams again week one to start this season.
Oh,
what
boy.
A matchup to start the year after last year's playoff game.
I can't wait to give Stafford another smackdown. It's going to be
great. Yeah, baby.
And because they have some injuries they're dealing with, but we get to that a week or so.
I ain't scared. I don't care
but
who
Gibbs,
we field.
Branch, I'm trying to – bring up
Arnold.
Here.
Arnold.
Arnold. They're all looking good.
Rickstra.
Yeah. Campbell said pretty much almost everyone's going to be ready for week one. Pretty close.
Yep. Laporta, Rodrigo. Everybody's looking ready.
Reader seems to be a little half baked, but I think Reader's going to be a down the stretch guy.
Yeah, for sure. He's going to be probably in the pup list to start the year. If they
which is just fine because I feel confident in our hogs up front right now on that defense.
Oh, he is on the pup list. Sorry, he hasn't been taken off the pup list.
Like I feel good about Aleem and Levi and Broderick and Pecco. I think they'll hold it down just fine
Pecco.
In the middle.
Yep, Kyle Pecco
and
Mekhi. Is it Mekhi or Mekhi?
Mekhi.
Mekhi, I don't know. That was Mekhi, but maybe it's Mekhi. I don't know.
You say Mekhi.
Wasn't that the guy in Tombstone, Johnny Wingo?
Mekhi Wingo.
Johnny Utah.
His brother Johnny
Utah.
Wingo.
Johnny Wingo. I don't know.
Oh man. Well, actually, that's the other battle, though. Is the D end opposite of Hutch, like? Or, like, I guess the last D end on the roster. Because does everyone think that Hutch, Pascal, and Davenport make the roster?
Let me think about that. Nope. Yeah, probably not.
Well, I mean,
they're just going to be edged out just a little bit.
I mean, I'm just saying, is anyone, like, because Pascal hasn't been exactly stellar. I've been one of his biggest proponents. I haven't been all about him, but he's just been kind of quiet. I mean, he did get a sack in that game we just had, but I mean, the fact that he was playing that late in the game was kind of a sign he's kind of needing some more time to bake a little bit to see what he can do. He's not getting the starter treatment like Levi is at this point. And so no one's really set themselves apart there. Actually, like that Ukwu and Agude, I think, have been looking pretty solid.
They both look intriguing.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see.
Betts had a nice sack. He did have that one nice sack, but other than that, I don't know.
No, but I mean, I think Betts is out.
I think
Ukwu is out too now.
Who do you think will be the fourth DN then?
Hutch. Pascal had a strip sack fumble in this one, by the way.
I know. I think Pascal makes this team for damn sure.
But Edge, Aiden. Obviously, Marcus Davenport, Josh Pascal, James Houston, those four.
Oh, Houston is four. Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
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 And how about Houston? You guys, I wasn't on last week. I don't know if you guys talked about this, but about how they've kind of given up on the whole Sam thing for Houston. They're just going to let him do his thing, let him cook off the edge.
Exactly.
Yeah, we actually did talk
about that's where, like, he's not, he hasn't done it yet. Like, some people have been talking about how, like, they feel like he needs to show something now. Like, because his Sam experiment did kind of fail. Now, does he have to, like, how much does he have to prove he's still got? Like, because he's also still off of injury still. Like, he hasn't really shown it, like, what he did 2 years ago since he's been back from injury last year. Like, he didn't do much down the stretch of the, like, in the playoffs or anything, and he hasn't done much this preseason. But granted, he's just switching back positions. I like him holding on to him there over some of those other guys, but those Uku and Ogude have been looking pretty solid in these preseason games.
Well, the answer with Houston is, yeah, he is going to have to keep proving it. You know, nothing's going to be given to this guy.
No.
You know, they'll make the roster, I think, but he's going to have to live up to it.
But, I mean, you don't think he has to do anything to make the roster now, like in this last preseason game?
I think he's done enough with the talent that's out there. I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you too.
I'm not 100% confident on him. I'm a little iffy. I like putting him in that spot, but like one of those younger dudes does look pretty good. I think Uku's like a rookie undrafted guy this year, and that Ogude might be the same. They show some feistiness, is all I'm saying, and maybe a little better run defense too.
One other battle kind of going on is the tight end battle. Obviously, Laporta and Brock Wright will be on the roster, but there's that third or fourth one. So Parker Hesse, he's been trending up for a while. We've talked about him on here. Then Shane Zylstra over James Mitchell or Sean McKeon.
Zylstra make the team just because I like him. Man.
Zylstra will make the team. And I'm going to say it right now, the four tight ends are going to be LaPorta, Brock Wright, Zylstra, and what's that guy's
Hesse, name? Parker Hesse.
Hesse.
Who they played at H-back a lot, too.
That's the four.
Ooh, that's saying
Mitchell is out.
James Mitchell.
Mitchell is out.
There's going to be one kind of painful cut there. Mitchell did show up in this last game, actually, though. He made a couple nice catches and for nice chunk yards. He showed up a little bit.
I've tried to key on him a few times. He just doesn't impress me much as a blocker or even as a receiver. I don't know. And it was just 3 years now we've had him, right? And really hasn't shown anything.
Yeah, he made a couple key plays, but not much. Yeah.
So I just think that Hesse shows more versatility in his game and special teams and things like that and fullback. Uh-huh. And I think he's going to be a more valuable player on the field compared to what Mitchell can bring out there. So that's why I think they're going to finally give up on the Mitchell experiment. And, you know, maybe they'll keep him on the practice squad or something like that.
What if they go Mitchell over Zylstra?
I don't think so. I think Zylstra's better, period.
Didn't Zylstra have like a 3-touchdown performance in a game for us? Like before he got like a
couple years ago, A couple years ago, he had a big.
He's also the one who had a brother, too, who was a wide receiver, right? Like for a little bit, they were both on the team.
Zylstra?
Yeah, Luke Zylstra or something like that.
Yeah, there was two Zylstras, yeah.
Yeah. But I like Zylstra, and he's got that height, too, because. Like, one thing to consider in all this is, like, who is our red zone targets in terms of, like, jump balls and stuff? And, you know, like, wide receiver-wise, our tallest wide receiver of our sure, like, roster locks is J-Mo at, like, 6'1.5". And then you got, like, some tall tight ends, but you don't really have much height in the receiver room.
Yeah, and Mitchell was drafted for his athleticism, supposedly, this super athletic tight end. And what has he really shown anybody?
Well, he's been injured.
Has anybody seen it stand out in any way? I mean, he made a couple catches.
For the opposite,
the
actually. He was
years,
sluggish out of the gates in camp is what I remember.
The catches, that's the part, UJ, I was looking for him because he was a receiver like early in his career, like in college. So he's got the hands, he's got the speed, but for some reason it's never shown up in the NFL except for there were a few plays that he did. But in general, no. I'm waiting to see it too.
And then really quick is the interior offensive line. Mahogany, it looks like he'll make the roster, but it's this very confusing what is going on with him. He's been at the facility, but he remains on the non-football illness list. So what does he have, like a super serious illness that they're not telling us about? I don't know what's going on there. It's kind of bizarre. I wish they could share some info. I want to see him out there.
Yeah.
It doesn't appear to be a muscle or a joint or anything of that nature. So I'm not sure.
Why are they being so secretive?
They're saying he's starting to get towards getting back, I think. Dan mentioned.
Maybe he's got long COVID.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Reporters don't seem to ask too many questions about it.
Well, Campbell said he's getting close,
I
think.
A fringe guy. Then Coyote Iwasaka over Michael Neese and Kingsley Aguakun, who's an undrafted free agent. Aguakun, I'm talking about.
I like Iwasaka.
Who has actually made a lot of noise this preseason as far as he's taken some first team reps today, even today, Aguakun. So maybe not the team, but hopefully a roster, practice squad guy.
Yeah. Well, I hope Mahogany makes the team just because he's got a good football name.
I think he's a guy they plan on protecting regardless, right?
Yeah, what do you think? I think so.
Feel very
you think
good
he has some
him.
Kind of a mental problem or something? Or
a good maybe.
Football illness.
I, mean, sure. I have no idea.
I don't know.
Sure
he's got the yips. He can't throw the ball to the pitcher.
And that's the problem because you think he's playing baseball.
Remember Steve Sachs back in the day? Couldn't throw from second to first.
Yeah. Wow, there's a throw.
And Chuck Knobloch, too, I think. There's two guys that just got the yips and couldn't. They'd catch a ground ball at second. They couldn't throw it to the first baseman to save their lives. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Something they've done thousands
maybe
of times.
Maybe there's something like that. I don't know.
Some Mahogany's out fielding ground balls in Arizona.
Kind of weird that he's got yips when he hasn't even made it on the field.
I think we'll wrap it up here by just really quickly referencing the last upcoming preseason game with some of our predictions for the Lions' first home game of the year. It's preseason game. It's third preseason game. It's on August 24th at 12 o'clock Central, 1 o'clock Eastern. The Lions are 6.5-point underdogs at home against the Steelers. What's that all about?
Wow.
Justin
Fields always beats us, you know. He always tears us up. Yeah. So
apparently, that is a dumpster fire of a quarterback competition over there between Fields and Wilson.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It sounds like it. But
I wouldn't mind it. I would think it'd be funny if Fields actually succeeded as quarterback, though, and just really rubbed it in the faces of the
Bears. What you wanted for Trubisky, and that never happened either. So maybe it'll happen this time.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, they like those Bears cast-offs in Pittsburgh, huh?
What do you guys think? Did all of the Bears fans in your life send you the highlight of him throwing towards the side, like he's running,
chucking it up for the touchdown?
Throws it kind of across his body down the sideline to, I think it was a Dunze, but either way.
Oh, the Caleb Williams throw you're talking about?
Yeah.
That was a hell of a play. I didn't see the game.
It was, but in today's NFL, it's not as spectacular.
I'm sure there's some people who have already penciled him in as a top five quarterback. Because
the Bears fans are like, oh, my God. I'm like, I could show you like 20 Justin Fields highlights. Doesn't mean the guy's going to be a good quarterback. But, you know, they're all about – I guess they have nothing else to hang their head on. But either way, I just tried to temper their –
did you see
expectations? Because he also didn't play very good for four of the five drives. So
yeah, that's what I heard. He allowed three and outs, right? But
right.
I did you see that interview with Caleb Williams? He was talking about like his favorite quarterbacks, and Matt Stafford was like in the top two quarterbacks in the league. And he's like, I always watch him and I try to learn from him because he's like, he can do stuff that nobody can do. And I thought that was kind of cool. But
it's very true. I mean, that's not a lie. He definitely can do things that Goff can't do, things of that nature. But
he can be disloyal, too. He can abandon his team, too.
Why don't you guys talk about how great Stafford is, huh?
He is great.
Blow off Jared Goff, your quarterback.
Future Hall of Famer.
I mean, even in the playoff game last year, Stafford was really good in that playoff game.
He was.
He was good enough to win. Tough to beat,
you know who was good enough to win? Jared Goff. Good enough for Detroit.
Hey,
Dan said it.
Can I throw a movie recommendation out there?
We're at that point in the podcast.
I just happened to.
Do you want to say now, or do you want to give our predictions on the movie?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Really quick. Predictions. Predictions. I'm going to go 17-13 Lions. That's all. I don't even know about stats.
Okay.
Anything.
I guess I'll go 131-0 Detroit Lions. Go.
All right.
21-20 Lions.
Boo.
All right. And I'll go 20-3 Lions.
There you
really,
go.
Really boring game. That's what I predict.
Well, those are our predictions for the third preseason game. Our most anticipated predictions of the year. All right. Now, now it's time for you, Jay, to give his movie recommendation.
All right. The other night I had a hankering to watch this movie. I already seen it once, but I thought it's called Grater. And I don't know how many of you have seen this movie.
How do you spell it?
Like a cheese grater?
G-R.
That's what I thought too, Bob.
Oh, my God.
Say when.
That would not be a bad name. That could fit, actually.
All right, it's called, I don't know this movie.
G-R-E-A-T-E-R.
Oh.
Grater. Okay, it's a true story about a guy named Brian Burlsworth, who is considered the greatest walk-on ever in NCAA history, and he played for Arkansas. And this kid from nowhere just had this dream of playing for Arkansas, and he was fat, and he was slow, and he was all these other things, and just incredible determination, stuff like that. It's a very inspirational movie, a bit tear-jerking, and but it's a true story.
Oh, I've seen that, EJ.
It's a fantastic movie, okay?
Yeah, Neil McDonough is in it. That's the only notable actor I knew in it. But
Yeah,
it was a solid movie.
Yeah, good movie. So there's my movie recommendation of the week.
Tearjerker, be warned.
All right. Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah, where do you watch it on? Netflix?
Netflix. It was on Netflix,
We're getting sponsored by them. Well, this what's going on?
Before he was in college, he was working at a restaurant, and he would go around with the cheese and like grate it onto your pasta.
Yeah.
So he got the nickname Grater.
That's great.
All right.
You don't give away too much.
On that note, it is time to wrap up the podcast.
On that note.
We usually time it out pretty good where I get to this point.
I got on that noted this time. All right.
Yeah, congrats, Bob. Way to go.
Welcome to the club.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week. But before that, of course, we have to thank our producer,
KJ.
Hey, that was a pretty good one, actually.
A little better.
I'm sure he'll appreciate it when he is editing the podcast. Thank you, producer Kid J, for crushing it every week. Please download or subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you download your podcast. Also, subscribe to us on YouTube. You can either type youtube.com/@DTBK_Lions, or you just type in Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, and I'm sure it will be the first thing that pops up, because we are the top Lions podcast on YouTube, I think. I like that. At least in quality. At least in quality.
Top.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And good looks.
And
in Kool-Aid drinking. In Kool-Aid drinking, for damn sure.
Damn sure. Other than that, we want to thank our listeners for staying with us throughout this offseason, and we are just around the corner from the start of this Super Bowl 2024
season. On your front porch, you can see us.
Big things are happening. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go!
Charging team that will not yield, and when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave, rock, 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 go hard, win the game, with honor you will keep your fame, down the field and gain, a Lions victory,
go!
When you need
need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.